Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. And got another great show planned. And after all, this is the most scintillating hour of finance radio. Tongue in cheek. and as a reminder, Darren, I don't know if you know about this, but we are moving. The most scintillating hour is changing hours. We've been leapfrogged by Cougar football. And I've got to tell you, I was shocked that Cougar football was determined to be further up the pecking order than we were. Once again, tongue in cheek. But yeah, so we are moving hours. We will be on the 1 o'clock, and this show is going to be on the 1 o'clock hour, I believe.
Starting this week, we're doing that?
I think so. Yeah, because we got
used to me. Why would I know?
Yeah, well, you're like the rest of us, pal. Just waiting for orders, right? but yeah, we're going to be on 1 o'clock, 1 to 2 now, and. I say that like it's groundbreaking news. I don't think that's going to break anybody's heart when they tune in at 3 and find out that it's a Cougar football game. But maybe it would. Hopefully we got some hardcore economic finance nerds out there that like what we're talking about. but anyway, from now on, like I said, going to be on from 1 to 2. I'm excited about it. I'm told the earlier in the day that we are on the weekend, the more listening audience. So that's more people that have to wade through this. And you'll have to forgive me, too, if there's a little bit of a cough or something. I got 3 children under the age of 10, right? They're like Petri dishes with legs. And if it's out there, if it's a bug, we're going to get it. So that's what it is. And then before I move on, I've got a very, very special guest in the studio with me. It's my second oldest child, Kai, and he's come with Dad today up to the radio show. We try to circulate that. All the kids get a chance to come up to the radio show and enjoy the, observe in person the magic of AM radio, and to tell you how excited they are. They typically sit on the side of the room watching PBS Kids on my cell phone. I don't think that they've really bonded to AM radio as a conduit of information at this point. I think they'd rather watch Wild Kratts or something like that. One day, maybe. So anyway, got a great show planned for you today. Once again, I'm loving this because it's like a smorgasbord of things to discuss. That's a $10 word, by the way. But there's so many things to talk about. The doldrums of summer have passed. And, boy, there's just stuff happening all over the place. Now, not on the financial economic side, but saw a picture, read an article this morning while I was doing a little bit of show prep. And it's just a good laugh. There was a picture of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez bonding with the common man, the street worker on New York City, because she's not above shaking hands with the common man. She's one of us. While she was wearing her Manolo Blahnik $700 pumps and a $3,000 pantsuit. She's sporting like $4,000 in one outfit. She's living the socialist dream, man. Incredible, right?
Does that mean we all get those things?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Which
go for a new pair of pumps.
Yeah. Well, no, and well, that, and look, there's a there. Yeah, right. There's a silver lining to all of this, because if socialism means $4,000 suits and a Bentley, well, by God, I'm in. Right, I'm in. Unfortunately, though, I don't think it's one of those things. which brings me up, if you guys haven't read it, and this is basic reading, many of you probably have. But I just keep getting myself pulled back to the Orwell classic Animal Farm, because it's so prophetic. Darren, you haven't read that. Sweet mercy, my work here has just begun. It really, you know, it's life imitating art, art imitating life. Which one is it? It is fascinating to me, right? The four legs good, two legs bad. If you read the story, you know what it means. That, how that is just completely taken over society. It is turned into an Orwellian shop of horrors. It really has. And it's just incredible to me to watch the pace and the speed and the intellectual dishonesty that everybody on the way up here, to go along with that, on the way up here, there's a 16-year-old kid, a young man that I'm mentoring, hanging out with, you know, for, it's not really a mission of mercy because he's just an awesome kid. But anyway, he texts me from school and he is telling me about this English class he's in. They're two, three weeks into the school year so far. And in the English class, they're not reading Shakespeare. They're not composing, you know, prose. It's another $10 word. You know, they're not doing things that you would find to be functional and you know, meaningful activities in an English class. They're being culturally indoctrinated. And so they got to write a paper on famous people. He was assigned Oprah Winfrey, which, you know, I'm a very admirable human being. But on top of being assigned who they're going to write about, they were also given the information. They cannot include information outside of what the teacher gives them. Right? So here's the person that you're going to write this on, and here's where you're going to get your information. Just bizarre. Really bizarre. And then this all was spun off of the teacher for the first 2 weeks of class, or 3 weeks, whatever it is. All they've been discussing is cultural inequality in an English class. And she told them, quote unquote, the reason I'm an English teacher is because the sexist society has held me down and only wants to teach math to men, or otherwise I'd be a math teacher. And it got me to thinking, I was like, well, when I was in high school, I had four math teachers and three of them were women. I mean, just. And then I sat there and I asked him, and this is in your English class? And he said, yeah. And then these kids graduate from high school and we wonder why they know nothing. Right? We all know these stories, right? It's become anecdotal at this point, and it's become part of. But I fear that we're all becoming sort of the frog in boiling water, because if you step back with any level of perspective, and we'll get into the finance and economic side of things, but on a cultural level, it's insanity. Look around you. It's insane. It really is insane, regardless of what your political perspective is. If your hope is to educate and to, you know, imbue your children with knowledge, you should be just as perplexed as I am. Like I said, regardless of political. And then you look at the educational system and you look at somebody like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And how can somebody that's been so properly educated be so vapid and devoid of practical knowledge? You just hear these stories from high school. It just, It's mind-numbing to me. Then the crazy thing is, and this fits right in with our finance or morality, our, you know, discussion that we've been having over the last few weeks. You know, it's no wonder that we're doing such crazy, nonsensical things on the financial side of society. Right? Is it the cart or the horse? Is it, who knows? But they go hand in hand. And that's one of the things that I find so concerning is that if you look culturally, again, in the economy, in the area of finance, in the area of schools, in the area of pop culture, everything really is about the elimination or the eradication of consequences, right? It's not even so much more about guaranteed outcomes. It's eliminating all consequences. You know, it's almost like we started a base society off the Lennon song Imagine, right? What if there's no standards? We can just all run around and love each other. It's just, sweet Moses. It like I said, and it's gone so far beyond politics. And, oh, well, I disagree with you. And I'm like, well, we're not to the point where it's really a disagree-agree type issue. It's like, you know, you may not believe in gravity, but I'll bet you it believes in you. You know, anyway, there's another rant. Start things off, right? Okay, so enough of that. This is what you get on this radio show all week long, and you get it from guys that are better at talking about it than I am. So let's move on to something that we talk about, right? The point of the show. So the market update. Believe it or not, even though the indexes, when you're looking at the market at the end of the day, if you're keeping an eye on those kind of things, we still haven't seen many fireworks. We're still hovering around that high on the S&P, 2873. Today we're at 2900, but we're not, you know, I don't even think that puts us a full percent above the previous all-time high. So, we're not at breakout status, certainly, on the S&P 500. I think that's coming, though. Interesting thing to watch, though, is we're seeing a pop in rates. That's meaningful. You get the 10-year above 3%. And the reason it's meaningful is because these are all signs that financial conditions around the world are tightening. And then we look over to emerging markets, and emerging markets have been absolutely gobsmacked, trashed. Now, they're not down like 80% or anything, but they're getting rocked. And the reason that's interesting to me is that there's no real narrative driving that, and except slowing growth. At the same time, we're seeing the dollar, say, stay stubbornly high, and we're seeing rates in the U.S. rise. Again, all of these things point to tightening financial conditions around the world, and it's something that we very much want to pay attention to. Again, not trying to predict falls or crashes or anything like that, but when we are in the longest bull market in U.S. history with some of the highest or the highest stock valuations in U.S. history, these are things we should start paying attention to. And for a little bit of background, I was meeting with a client last night in Everett, having some Ivers. And yeah, every time I go to, I always forget about Ivers, but man, I love that tartar sauce. It's phenomenal. When was the last time you had some Ivers tartar sauce?
Oh, it's been a while.
Well, make the trip.
Yeah.
So they asked me what I wanted.
There's one right by my gym, so I can just pop out and avoid my workout.
Nice. Or, that, I mean, you're looking at it reverse. Or the reason you went to the gym is so you can eat the Ivers without any consequence, right? Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you're paying it forward, which I'm a firm believer of. But anyway, we were having this conversation. And we got on the topic of risk, and you guys know what I think about risk. I think it's a fascinating conversation. So many sides to it, so many misunderstandings. It's kind of a bottomless philosophical pit, right? You can never quite get your hands all the way around it. But we also got into a discussion of why we focus so much on risk. And one of the reasons we focus on risk, and why I think that the vast majority of financial advisors and the financial industry at large has got things completely backwards, is that fitting into our view, and if you don't believe me or if you disagree, just pull out a pen and paper and kind of experiment with yourself, and you'll quickly see that it's just numbers. But negative impacts or bad investments or losses are far more impactful to our long-term returns. Far more. And that as money managers or fiduciaries of other people's money, I think we should all be forced to take something that I call the financial Hippocratic Oath, which is first do no harm. And whether we're selecting funds or we're selecting individual stocks or bond, whatever it is, we tend to focus on and all the financial industry talks about is the gains. You know, what is this one up? And you got to buy this one because it's going up. One of the biggest things you got to... We've talked before on this show about tailored brands, Men's Warehouse, how that was one of our biggest winners over the last 18 months. When we bought it, and again, not a recommendation. We don't currently hold it. Not saying anything about it. It's not an investment recommendation at all. But when we bought it because it was extremely cheap and the valuation made no sense when you compared it to the underlying fundamentals of the company. Okay? We didn't have any clue whether it was going to go up 50%, 80%, 120%, whatever. Nobody does. And the reason I bring that up is because we get so preoccupied with what makes money. And if you follow the right disciplined approaches to investing, you don't have to worry about the upside, as weird as that sounds. Right? Because if you don't have the desired outcome, a 20% gain rather than a 50% gain, you still made 20%. Maybe that underperformed the market, but it's still a positive gain. You don't have to worry about the things that work. The vast majority of your attention should be paid on potential losses. And why? And that doesn't mean that if we get 5 or 10% down in any individual investment, we automatically sell it. But when you understand the way that losses impact long-term returns, you quickly come to the realization that if I want to be a better investor, the thing I should be focused on the most is the preservation of my capital. And yet that's not what we're focused on. Now, when we can do the right thing in terms of preserving our capital, when we can build a safeguard around our capital and ensure its safety and make more money and pay less in fees, then it's not a matter of should we do it. It's a matter of course. Right? That's kind of a self-answering question. And so that's why we talk so much about risk. Now, that's all we talk about around the water cooler at family dinners or whatever. We talk about the stock we bought that's up 120, 130%. I get it. I do too, because that's all people want to talk about. But if you think about it in terms of, you know, put yourself back in 08, 09, right? How much would you be bragging? How much would your chest be sticking out? How happy would you be had you been up 2% or had you been flat during that whole period? And that will make a far bigger difference on your long-term returns than whether you make 70 or 80% on the stock or this fund or whatever it is. And I'm not minimizing growth. Look, that's how I make my money. As a fiduciary, I don't get paid transactionally. Right? The only way to increase our income is by growing our client accounts. But what I'm telling you is the best way to grow client accounts is by limiting losses. So there's my risk rant. The other thing we're seeing too, and this has been welcome news to us, is some new life, and this has been a trend that's been in place for the last 6 to 8 months, but some new life being breathed in to these more traditional value type dividend paying stocks. And while we love that and welcome that, because that's kind of a specialty of ours, especially in these crazy times we live in, that also suggests and points to that financial tightening around the globe. And personally, I think that we're going to continue to see that develop, and here's why. In the past, whenever we have seen, you know, pending recessions or the beginning of recessions or tightening financial conditions, we see a bid on bonds. We see a flight of capital into bonds for preservation. Problem is, a lot of these investors and a lot of these pools of money, they've got return mandates, meaning they've got to generate a certain level of returns every year. And even good bonds are not paying sufficient income, especially in a rising rate environment, for them to make those needed returns. So one of our ideas, or one of our postulations or concepts that we've been following, is that unlike other times, we think that you'll see these bigger dividend paying type blue chip companies, especially the ones that aren't sporting sky high valuations. I think you'll see more liquidity than previously, ever thought possible, flowing into those types of stocks. Because, and you think about it, the simple concept would be, wait a second, I'm signing up for a 1.8%, European, government sovereign bond, or should I buy, Procter & Gamble paying me a 3% dividend? That's like a bond, right? And of course it's not. It's a stock. It bears with it equity risk. But I've already heard people saying things like that. Blue chip dividend paying stocks are the new bonds. Now, of course, we know how that ends. It's going to end in tears. But for the meantime, I think that there's a lot of legs left to run in that. And value has been something, part of this rally, that's been really ignored. So other than that, gold continues to make some interesting moves, kind of just bouncing around back around that $1,200 level. Oil's getting bounced around a lot. A little bit surprising to us, the inflation numbers came in a little bit light yesterday, or 2 days ago, Thursday. We're recording the show on Friday, as always. And then a lot of interesting action in currency land. These emerging market currencies, including China, which is a big deal. We'll talk about that later in the show as well. Showing some serious weakness, not just in the economy, in the currency. There's just a lot going on. But anyway, the rest of the show kind of outlined the segments we're going to talk about. Next segment we want to talk about is King Dollar dethroned, and how that correlates to the way that we're seeing the world and the things that we think people need to pay attention to. Other segment I want to talk about is investing greats and their insight. David Tepper gave some really enlightening. David Tepper happens to be the founder and chief investment officer of Appaloosa, Appaloosa Capital or Management. And we would just call it Appaloosa. Anyway, phenomenal track record, brilliant investor. Not nuts about his politics, but again, like Warren Buffett, pays to listen to these guys. He had some very interesting thoughts. And then in the last segment, we want to go over China slowing. We kind of just teased that a little bit. But I think that's something really important to focus on, and it's something that we've been looking at for the last several years, because that's got some big implications for global growth in general and financial conditions around the world. So anyway, got a great show coming up. And as always, if you have questions about what we talk about, if you want to know how we're managing risk in clients' accounts, lowering fees, drastically reducing risk exposure, and increasing upsides, as always, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. If you don't want to talk to us, you just want to feel it out a little bit more, email us. I can assure you there are no sales tricks. You're not going to get called every week by our rope. We don't even have any of that. If you want to talk to us, we'll talk to you. If you decide you don't, we're not going to bother you. Not going to waste our time. But if you want a second opinion, if you want to know what else is out there, if you want to know how to limit your risk, if you're concerned about this being the longest bull market in U.S. history and maximum valuations and the fact that the bond component of your portfolio has been sucking wind for the last 3.5 years, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. You can also go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, email us, call us, tweet us at KYR Radio on Twitter. A lot of ways to get a hold of us. Anyway, got a great show coming up. Stay tuned. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
One of the biggest threats we face heading into retirement is unreimbursed medical costs, or what we call long-term care. The facts are pretty clear on this. Nearly 3 out of 4 of us will need help from others. And long-term care situations can happen at any age and can not only wipe out our savings, but it can also put a physical and emotional burden on your family and friends. I want you to learn how you can protect your savings and the people you care about the most by attending one of the upcoming long-term care planning classes sponsored by 525 Advisors. They're in Bellevue Friday, September 21st and Saturday the 22nd, taught by Brian Ott, host of Long-Term Care Radio every Saturday morning here on Cairo. Brian will teach you about all the newest programs, including asset-based plans that are guaranteed to pay your estate back if you never use them. This is the plan my wife and I got with Brian. You'll also get a free copy of his book, A Guide to Long-Term Care Planning, just for attending. Don't let an extended healthcare situation wipe out everything you've worked hard for or burden the people close to you. Sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Call now and get our brand new version of Common Sense Investing. It's our complimentary booklet that shows you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, Zach, and I got to tell you, you have to read Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining us. And if you're just joining us, you missed the market update, but we're getting into what this new segment called King Dollar Dethroned. But before that, I want to get into something that happened in the last month. And because it's so prescient and it's such a good illustration of some of the fears and concerns, more concerns, right? Fears mean we're just kind of sitting there, you know, trembling, worried about things unseen. These are actual concerns and anomalies that have built up in the credit market. When I talk about credit markets, what I'm talking about is bond markets. And for those of you just joining us, I'll try to make this as not dry as possible. But when we talk about stocks, that is a fractional ownership of a company. You're an owner. When we talk about bonds, those are debts issued by governments and corporations. When you own a debt, you're a debt, or when you own a bond, you're a debt holder. Now, bonds are typically more secure because they come with more security than being a stockholder. As an owner, whether you know it or not of a stock, you are part of the ownership. So you are, in principle, responsible for paying off debts. Now, you can't be held liable, right, as a shareholder. But your equity, your share, your ownership of that company can be dissolved to zero. As a bondholder, you have certain securities that stockholders don't. So the flip side of that is, as a stockholder, you can make a lot more money. As a bondholder, you're only going to make what the bond is paying. Okay? Now, one of the issues that we've seen, or one of the probably the biggest issue over the last 10 years, is central banks, the Federal Reserve, the Bank of Japan, the People's Bank of China, the European Central Bank, in an effort to stimulate economic growth, those central banks have printed right around $22 trillion, and they have been using that printed capital to purchase debt, bonds, in the debt markets. And why that's problematic for a traditional investor or a value investor like we are is because interest rates are the foundational bedrock of any economy. It's how we identify risk, right? If the interest rate is higher, it tells us automatically there's more risk to that security. And It's also how companies and governments access capital markets or bring in new money to help them do things they want to do. So in an effort to stimulate growth, these central banks have stepped in with these infinite piles of money, and they've bought up the debt, pushing the borrowing costs down. And what I mean by that is supply and demand, right? The more people that want to buy a bond, the further the interest rate on that bond is going to drop, meaning that you'll get less and less for it, right? Owning that bond. Because if the company is selling $1 million worth of bonds, or the government is selling $1 million worth of bonds, but let's say there's $10 million of appetite, that government or that company is going to sit there and say, look, rather than paying you 6%, we're going to pay you 3%, right? Because the demand is so much greater than the supply. And hopefully you're with me at this point. And so the problem with that is now is that when we look at debt markets, we don't really know what the actual clearing price is. And what we mean by clearing price is if a market was able to operate freely without intervention of printed money or fake money, what would the actual price of that security or that bond be? We don't know. And to clearly illustrate how much we don't know, in the last month or two, and I'm the name of the company, I'm forgetting it, but in the last month or two, there was a European company that went bankrupt. And I think we've talked about this on the show before, but I want to bring it up again because it's so important that people understand this. That company went bankrupt, and at the time it went bankrupt, we look into the debt markets and we see that their bonds, right up into the day they went bankrupt, were trading at a premium to U.S. Treasuries, which means that if you bought their bond, if you bought their debt, you would get about 1.8 to 1.9%, which is about 50 basis points less than you would get buying a 10-year U.S. government bond. Now, if that sounds crazy to you, it is. It's nonsense. It makes absolutely no sense. And then people come back and they go, well, maybe people didn't know it was going to go bankrupt. Well, that's nonsense, too. Look, bankruptcy happens and it's an unfortunate thing most of the time, but it's not like we can't see it coming. Right? A company just doesn't wake up one day and go, oh, guess what? Things didn't roll our way. That check didn't come in. We're bankrupt. So what's my point? My point is that when things are this distorted, you have to be very careful because you don't really know what you're buying. All of the indicators that we would typically look at to figure out, is this a good investment? Is this a bad investment? Where's the risk? What do people think? Right? You see a bond paying 1.8, 1.9%. And in the past, wouldn't advise this. But in the past, you could just close your eyes and buy it, knowing that, well, it's got to be a very secure thing, right? There's a lot of credit analysts out there that know more than I do, and it's got to be a very secure bond. Not so fast. You can't do that anymore. And what created that mess? The European Central Bank. Going in there and buying up all these private, think about that. Printing money and buying private corporations' debt, which reduces their borrowing costs. Talk about picking winners and losers. So don't be the frog in the water. Don't look around right now and say, well, everything's okay. It's not okay. You've got roadsides all around you. Will this take 6 months or 2 years or even 4 years to unfold? Nobody knows, including me. But we've got all the signs around us. And we're starting to see the fallout. Starting. I'm not, again, not trying to predict movements or crash, but you just have to open your eyes. Do not be the frog in boiling water. Look around. You know, if it doesn't pass the smell test, then, you know, don't touch it. And that's one of the reasons that we're doing what we're doing in clients' accounts. Everybody's freaked out about the stock market, but if you pay attention to your returns over the last 3 years, what's killed your returns are bonds. Bonds that have given you a net negative real return over the last 3.5 years, all the while you're paying someone to manage it. Now, do we have thoughts on the stock side? Absolutely. But the reason we hammer on the bonds so much is because it's the easiest thing to co-opt. It's the easiest thing to get away from. By using our bond replacement that's insured against loss, guaranteed against loss, has no upfront cost, no ongoing management fee, and it's up double digits over the last 2 years with zero risk. That's not going to outperform stocks, but that's not the point. The reason we own bonds is not because they make more money than stocks, because they smooth out volatility and returns. Anyway, we've talked about this on the show 100 times. But you're I'm just sitting there saying you're starting to see it play out. I mean, that's just insane. A company went bankrupt, and right up until the day they declared bankruptcy, their debt was trading at a premium to U.S. government debt. If you don't think things are massively distorted out there, there's your hardcore proof. So anyway, we'll get into another little rant there. I just wanted to make sure that everybody knows that, because that's one of those things where even we obviously we've been talking about this a while and we've been expecting it. But to see something like that actually unfold, to see the market call BS on central bankers in that big of a situation, a company that goes bankrupt while their debt is trading at a premium to the highest rated sovereign debt in the world, is just a massive smoke signal. Right, we're out of the realm of philosophy and theoretics and all that other kind of stuff. It's happening. And you got to pay attention. But anyway, getting into the King Dollar Dethroned issue, man, this is a topic we could spend literally days talking about. And if you're just joining us, this is Know Your Risk Radio on KTTH, and I'm Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital. And we are talking about King Dollar being dethroned. Now, why is that significant? It's significant because in the wake of World War II, the Marshall Plan, the rebuilding of Europe, one of the reasons we agreed to deploy so much capital and rebuild Europe outside of the fact that we're America and we step in and help, right? You won't hear that on the news these days. We're the great evil. But one of our contingencies on that deal was that the U.S. dollar needed to be the reserve currency for the world. And the basis of what that meant is that all commodity transactions, oil, steel, wheat, whatever we consider a commodity, all commodity transactions had to be settled in U.S. dollars. And one of the reasons that we wanted to do that was stability of the currency, meaning that the currency just through commerce would have a constant bid underneath it all the time. And that should hold the value of the currency up. And it should give the U.S. government more flexibility, and I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, more flexibility on the budget side of things. Now, what is that equated to? It's equated to today where the United States can sit there and run up debt to $22 trillion, which equals 115% of GDP, and that they can print $4 trillion out of thin air and stuff into their economy, and they can run trillion-dollar deficits without suffering a blow to the valuation of our currency. Okay. Well, here's the problem. We're very far removed from World War II, and a world power like China that really had no official part to play except on the periphery of World War II is now having to adhere to those rules and that setup. Russia's squawking as well. And so these countries are already taking measures, like Russia and China are now trading oil on commodities contracts that are backed by the Chinese currency, not the United States. Again, not something you're going to hear on the nightly news, but that is a big break from the way things have been done post-World War II. And one of the biggest reasons they're doing it is they're sitting there going, wait a second. You guys can run these deficits. You can fight all these wars around the country or around the world. You can rack up 115% debt to GDP, but because of the structure of the global financial system, you can't be held to account. We're tired of sterilizing your deficits. Right? We're tired of, because of the construct of the global financial system, we're tired of having to be held responsible to what we do on the fiscal and monetary side, while you guys don't have to. Now, we've known China and Russia were griping about this for a while. But another interesting thing happened this week. Jean-Claude Juncker, who's one of the leaders of the European Central Bank, came out and gave a speech, and he called for the euro to be the world reserve currency and play a much bigger role. Now, the irony about that, and I laughed when I read it, was we have not managed our fiscal house well here. I don't think that's any news to anybody listening to this show. But when you compare it to Europe, I mean, Europe's a joke. It's an absolute joke. I think the average debt load in the European Union is like 150% debt to GDP. And even those numbers are completely inaccurate because the European Central Bank is buying the borrowing costs down of all the member countries and the corporations. And so if you let rates float, you know, I think in the first year alone, you'd probably see that debt to GDP level pop on average between, you know, another 10% for each country, maybe higher, and then quickly spiral out of control. And for proof of that, all you got to do is remember the European debt crisis where Italy and Spain were on the verge of, and Portugal and Greece, they're all on the verge of bankruptcy. Italy and Spain, as big economies as they have, and they play pretty big roles in the European Union. Now, small compared to us and China, but big in Europe. Italy and Spain were staring at defaulting on their debt, staring at insolvency if their borrowing costs exceeded 6%. 6%. And the European Central Bank goes, well, we got to get those rates lower. And I sat there and kind of put my hands on the side of my cheeks with my mouth wide open and went, wait a second. What you glean from that is you need to get borrowing costs lower. I sit there and go, you need to pay down the debt. If you can't service your debt at 6%, you think that's an interest rate problem? That's insane. And so these governments don't want the constraints that they have on money creation and central bank interference. They want to be like the United States. So how do we do that? We remove the United States dollar, remove the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency of the world. And again, I think this is a response and more proof to this whole idea, this thing that we're talking about is monetary and financial conditions around the world are tightening. And that's really important when the world is drowning in more debt than we have ever had. Between 330 to 340% of debt to GDP worldwide. And financial conditions are tightening because interest rates haven't shot up, but they've just gotten off the mat, right? They've just started to climb up off the mat. They're just getting north of the zero bound. And that's already tightening financial conditions. It's pretty scary. And then what are the implications for us? Because here's the thing. And I'm convinced you're going to see this in our lifetime, that the U.S. dollar will quit being the reserve currency of the world. Not for a lot of the reasons out there that a lot of these wing nuts and conspiracy guys think. But it'll be out of necessity. The way it'll be sold is, look, we have too much dollar-denominated debt out there. This one currency is playing too big a role. And the whole global economy is at the whims of the U.S. dollar. So in order to stabilize, in order to make life return to normal, in order for your comfort to alleviate all these horrible things, we've got to remove the dollar as the U.S. is the reserve currency for the world. It's just the next logical step, right? Because what we know they're never going to do is they're never going to sit there and go, hey, why don't we institute fiscally responsible budgets? Why don't we pay down debt, right? That's not what they're going to do. They're just going to keep treating the symptom. Just wind up and kick that can a little farther down the road, baby. And you should be aware of it. One of the reasons is because if they control the monetary system, they control everything. They don't want to let free markets be in charge of that anymore. And this all points to the point I was trying to make earlier, which is whether you recognize it or not, the tectonic shifts of finance and economics, or the tectonic plate, excuse me, are shifting beneath your feet. We don't want to give up on gains. We don't want to sit there and put our money under the mattress, but it is very much a time to be very minded, very singularly focused on risk management. Because throughout this, here's the other side of it. This might sound a little fatalistic, but when these types of things happen, there's incredible opportunity, assuming you don't get swept away in the current, i.e., relating that to personal finance, you know, taking 60, 70% losses on your portfolio. If you have unimpaired capital to deploy, there's phenomenal opportunities. But in order to take care of them or take advantage of them, you need to manage your risk properly going into those events. And if you have questions about that, if you have concerns, if you wonder, why do I still own 25% of my portfolio in bonds? Why do I still have 50% of my portfolio in bonds? Why, like a recent client that I brought in, do I have 70% of my portfolio in bonds and making 5.5% in a year where the stock market's up 23% like it was last year? And why am I paying somebody 1 or 1.5 or even as high as 2% to manage that? They're making more than I am on the bonds. If you've got questions about that and want to know if there are alternatives, you don't have to just sit there and take it. There are other things to do. You can buy a more secure investment like our bond replacement strategy. Right, dirtiest word in investing, so scary, fixed index annuity. And to be fair, there's a lot of bad ones out there. But you'd be 100% insured against loss, no upfront costs, no back-end costs, and no management fee. And, you know, they've been averaging, you know, north of 6% for the last 6-7 years. There are things to do. There are moves to make. And we can lower your risk, lower your costs drastically, typically by 40 to 50%, and you make more money. Don't be the frog in water. Don't just sit there and take the bones that the financial industry is offering you. Dig a little bit deeper and give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. As always, you can set up a phone consultation. We can meet in person, or you can just email us. You can also go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Go to our iTunes page, listen to past interviews, segments, all that good stuff if you want to just geek out on finance, which I obviously love to do. But anyway, we've gone a little over. Got to get to our next segment. Next, we're going to talk about David Tepper and what some of the big guys in the world of finance are thinking right now. So stick with us. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with my financial advisor, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. And Zach, what I love about you guys is your focus on risk management.
Well, Dory, we're a fiduciary and a holistic retirement planning firm. Our goals are simple. Get our clients the highest returns with the least amount of risk and cost.
I know they're normally used for safety, but how risky are bonds right now?
If a significant portion of your retirement portfolio is in cash or bonds, that just doesn't work in this low interest rate environment on the verge of inflation. You need a bond replacement strategy.
I gotta tell you, you have to read it. Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn that bond replacement strategy, learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. And we want to get right into this fascinating interview with David Tepper, founder and chief investment officer of Appaloosa Management, as well as now the new owner of the Carolina Panthers. So, you know, as you could guess, he's done pretty well. But right now, he came out and said that he thinks that we are very close to the end of this cycle, and that his fund has only 30% exposure to stocks. And what was interesting was, and it's always reassuring for a guy like me, you know, because you've got your take on things or you've got your read on scenarios or situations. But, you know, I think that if you've done this job and you've actually managed money for any extended period of time, there's always a part of you that's wondering what you're getting wrong or what you're missing. And that keeps you up at night. That makes you nervous. And although just because a guy like David Tepper says it's so, it doesn't make it so. But it's confirmation that you're seeing that what you're seeing is real, right? You're not being biased by your take on things. And I think that's really important to point out. And one of the things that he talks about is the length of this cycle. He also talks about the load of corporate debt, which we've talked a lot about on this show. Talks about government debt. He talks about slowing down indicators, tightness in emerging markets, all these different things that we're saying. And the reason these conditions start happening toward the end of cycles is, you know, if you think about it, the economy is sort of like a rag. It can only soak up so much liquidity, right? And then it becomes saturated. That's the way our global financial system is with debt right now. And I think it's important to point out that we're saturated in debt, and that's with central banks around the world printing $22 trillion of fiat currency and buying a lot of that debt up. So how much more saturated would we be had markets been left to function freely and independently? And what implications does this have? And we were talking in the last segment about being the frog in water. You know, you start lining all these things up, including a legend in the game like David Tepper. And then you go look over at Uncle Warren, Warren Buffett's balance sheet, and Berkshire Hathaway's got something like $130 billion of cash sitting on the balance sheet, which is something like 28 or 29% of Berkshire Hathaway's market cap. And you listen to a guy like Jim Rogers, who was the partner of George Soros in the Quantum Fund when they made unbelievable amounts of money. Whether we like George Soros or not, he's brilliant in the world of finance. And Jim Rogers is literally on the opposite side politically from George Soros. So, you know, to me, that adds a little bit of the credibility. And then you notice all the things that we're talking about and what it points to. Again, I want to reemphasize it. It does not mean certain outcomes. Nobody knows. What it does mean is that we should be more focused on the risks. That's not what people want to tweet about, right? They want to tweet snapshots or screenshots of their 401k that's finally gotten over $1 million. I get it. I like making money just as much as the next guy. But I'd bet my bottom dollar that capital preservation and risk management will absolutely prove to not only be useful or worthwhile over the next 2 to 5 years, but it will also prove more profitable. And I don't want to beat this dead horse, but this is something that we talk to our clients about all the time. We should never be scared. We should never, the overriding thought in our minds when we're investing is not to invest in a manner where we can't lose, because we know inherently that that will cap our gains, right? Now, I know we talk about our bond replacement. That's different because, well, for a lot of reasons. But what I'm saying is we can't be overridden by fear, right? We know that there's some risk we got to take on and all that other kind of stuff. But there are clearly times where we should be more focused on risk and more focused on cost. And the reason why I say that a risk management strategy is going to be more profitable is because these storm clouds are going to come together. They're going to collide violently. It's inevitable. And I didn't say it was imminent. I said it was inevitable. And if you've got unimpaired capital, if you haven't taken massive losses when that occurs, you're going to have a world of opportunity opened up to you. You know, I tell people all the time, our best year managing money ever was from May of 2009 to June of 2010. And the stock side of things, we were up over 100% in a 12-month period of time. And it wasn't because we were geniuses. We could have been up a lot more had we gone in and bought the financials that were so beaten down. We were buying secure value dividend pay. I remember one great energy company we bought that had a fortress balance sheet, plenty of cash on the balance sheet, all that kind of stuff. But it had been beaten down so bad, they were paying a 13% dividend. 13% just for owning the stock. So over the next year, the price of the stock went up like 110%, and we collected 13% of dividend payments. That's why I say that risk management will ultimately, and over the long run, be the most profitable way to address your investments. Now, on top of that, I want to kind of combine this little section with David Tepper on China slowing and why that's a big problem. It's just one economy, right? Well, in this world that has been growth challenged because of all the different things that we talk about on this show all the time, central bank action, too much debt, deficits, all that other kind of stuff. Over the last 10 years, China has made up almost 60% of the world's growth. That could be 40. I could be inverting the figures. Either way, 40, 60%, somewhere in that ballpark. That China alone was responsible for that much of the world's growth. And interestingly enough, China was also responsible for about 50% of the world's commodity demands. And China hasn't been in a recession in 25 years. Not to mention the fact that 3 years ago, China's growth rate, according to government statistics, which I'm highly skeptical of coming out of China, but their growth rates were between 10 to 12%. Now the reported growth rates in China are down about 6.5%. According to our research, I think they're somewhere more like between 2 and 3. But I could be wrong. The point is there's very much a trend in place. And if China, clients all ask me all the time, what are you the most concerned about? Yeah, there's a lot, but China's at the top of the list. Because when they have a recession, when they have a financial event, when they have some type of economic crisis, when you look at a world that is struggling to grow more than 0%, and all of a sudden the catalyst or the driver for 60% of the world's economic growth over the last decade, they go into recession, hold on to your seats, folks. It's going to get ugly. Again, not timing it, but trying to put context around these all-time highs that we're all looking at. And the economy's booming, and I get it. And I'm a fan of what's going on here economically. I don't want to sound like I'm poo-pooing anything or, you know, trying to be the wet blanket in the, you know, on the party here. But one of the things that we look about all the time, or what we talk to our clients about, and the way we build portfolios is, hey, look, you've got an opportunity here. Not only can we protect you from all this risk that we see out there and lower your costs, but we can also increase your returns. You're not giving anything up. There's a better way to do things. It's not a binary outcome. It's not make money or make nothing. And if you don't believe it, give us a call. See if you can benefit. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Request our new booklet. Check out our iTunes page, listen to other shows, other radios. You can look at things I said a year ago and see if they came to pass to make sure I'm not just some idiot that's spewing nonsense. But give us a call, shoot us an email, do something, get a second opinion, take some control, and make sure that your financial future isn't left to the whims of crazy central bankers and insane politicians. Anyway, we got to run. Thanks for joining us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.